The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, and we are here to talk about it. This is the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman alongside Jeff McClain here on Philly.com. And Jeff, you've covered this team for a long time. You've seen seasons that start off with a lot of excitement and don't end very well. This is kind of the inverse. And there weren't these grand expectations going into the year, yet now they're going to the Super Bowl. What do you make of it?
I mean, it's remarkable because, I mean, I think we thought Super Bowl was a possibility prior to Carson Wentz's injury.
Yes, and in October, November, not going into September.
No, certainly not. So if you look at it from that vantage point, yes, this is a complete surprise. And certainly from the vantage point of Nick Foles being the quarterback and him leading them to the Super Bowl, I don't think there were many people that were confident that it was going to happen. I mean, certainly it seems like the guys in the locker room were, and all the credit to them and to Doug Peterson for not letting the injury detract them from their ultimate goals. And it's remarkable. This is a very good team. And to me, as good as the Patriots, dare I say, aside from the quarterback position, which is certainly a major one, but I think the Eagles' strengths, I know I'm already looking ahead to the Super Bowl, but the Eagles' strengths up front, I think, will really play to their advantages in that game, and it could go either way. Eagles could be Super Bowl champions in 2 weeks.
Well, the strength up front was a big reason why they won 38-7 over the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game. We spoke last week about playing the Vikings, the top-ranked defense in the NFL, one of the best third-down defenses in NFL history, and just the challenge that would be. And Doug Peterson and the offense, they scored 31 points. What was your big takeaway from the way the offense played?
10 of 14 on third down. I mean, that was kind of, those are kind
of incredible.
Those were the third down. That was the third down production the Eagles had with Carson Wentz. So, I mean, I think it's also in part a product of just offensive efficiency and the way Doug has schemed this unit. I think the keys were, and you saw it right from the get-go, was that they weren't shy about pushing the ball downfield. And Nick came out firing, and I know in that first drive you had the Torrey Smith, I think you could call it a drop, and Trey Burton not getting his feet in on third down. I think he got 1 foot in. But those guys were open. I mean, Torrey had a step on, was it Trey Waynes, and Trey Burton was wide open. He had there was nobody on him near the sideline. So that told me that, wow, there's going to be opportunities down the field. Now, I thought there would be in this scheme. It's an aggressive scheme. They play certain zones where you can push the ball downfield. I just wasn't sure if Nick was going to be capable of it because, quite frankly, he hasn't done it over the previous four games. He's only completed one pass that traveled over 20 yards during that span, a 17-yard completion to Zach Ertz. So I'm not being crazy by saying that. But he ended up completing 4 of 6 passes for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns on balls over 20 yards.
It was the best that I've seen Nick play when you consider the circumstances, the opponent he played against, the stage he played on. We were there.
No, it was the best. Yeah. To me, it was best, hands down.
Yeah, we were there for 7 touchdowns. We've seen 300-400-yard games from him. But when you consider everything, it was a big-time performance by Foles.
Well, some of those throws were in the tight circles, tight windows,
yep.
Too.
The Torrey Smith touchdown and the flea flicker. Yeah.
And then he had one to Nelson Aguilar, which wasn't an easy throw. He was dealing. He played better than any other quarterback in the NFC in the championship games.
And I think it really validates what we've said about Foles, which is, you know, I've compared him to like a streaky 3-point shooter. And when he's hot, he's on. You want to feed him the ball. And when he's not, it gets really ugly. Yeah. And we've seen both of those extremes this year. And I do think we didn't make too much of the weather during the Raiders game and during the Cowboys game. It was a nice day out yesterday, especially for January. The weather wouldn't affect the player. And I think going forward, one thing that could potentially work in the Eagles' favor is the Super Bowl's in a climate-controlled stadium. They're not playing outdoors. The roof's not going to be open. I think that helps Foles. The other thing that we should talk about on offense is the offensive line. You mentioned the line play. Bahala Pulavati Vaitai, the left tackle. We focused on the Everson Griffin Vaitai matchup, and Griffin really didn't make much noise yesterday. What did you think of the way Vaitai played?
Just really quick to touch on the weather thing. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Nick grew up in Texas. He played college ball at Arizona. Mm-hmm. He did spend a brief time at Michigan State.
And he wanted to leave.
And he wanted to leave. He wanted to get the heck out of there as quick as he can. And he has acknowledged that, that playing in Philadelphia has its disadvantages in February and January. Excuse me, in December and January. So I think it's something that does play with him a little bit. But they had good weather last night. And they should, then they will, obviously, in the Super Bowl. But to remark upon the offensive line, the job that Holly Puljuhvaitivaitai did against Everson Griffin, you know, Doug said that they schemed a few things to help him, but he held up against one of the best pass rushers, what do they call him, a game wrecker
last week? Yep.
I don't think he wrecked one play the entire game, did he?
No. I went through the game quickly.
I haven't gone through, I'm waiting for the coaches,
but Griffin didn't jump out. That's the thing. Griffin didn't jump out, and that's surprising because that's a player who jumps out most weeks. And it's not just Vitae. The entire offensive line, and you know, the Eagles built this team around the offensive and defensive lines, but the offensive line has just been outstanding this season, but especially recent weeks. And Jason Kelce's playing his best football of his career, I'd say. Yeah. Lane Johnson has been one of the best tackles in the NFL. You know, you're getting very good guard play from both Brandon Brooks and Wisniewski. Vitae was kind of the question mark on that line, but as we said, he played a high level. And when you can protect Nick Foles, when you can give him a clean pocket, I think that's when he does, that's when he can do some things.
Yeah, I mean, like any quarterback is going to be much better when he's got a clean pocket. But I think for Nick, it helps him certainly, and also in terms of helps his accuracy. He's an accurate quarterback, and dare I say, he's probably a little more accurate than Carson Wentz. Now, there's a lot of other things that he doesn't bring to the table, but if you're just sitting there and watching them throw on shorter pass, like short to intermediate passes, I mean, that's always been kind of Nick's calling card. He can make those throws and throw on the right shoulder and get guys as they're moving, get yards after the catch. And that's going to be the key in the Super Bowl. One of the keys in the Super Bowl is whether they can keep him clean again.
Now, on the other side of the ball, Jim Schwartz's unit has played well now four straight weeks. These past four home games, they haven't allowed more than 10 points per game. They haven't allowed more than one touchdown. Obviously, they haven't allowed more than 10 points. They haven't allowed more than one touchdown. But they were on fire last night, too. After that opening drive, you couldn't move the ball much on them. And you saw the pass rush get after Case Keenum. You saw each level hold up well. What did you think of Schwartz's unit?
Yeah, we've seen this before. The defense kind of not having its best having its best effort on an early drive or so, but then them just kind of through sheer force taking over. And sometimes it's taken a little longer against, like, for instance, the Rams game. But they didn't allow a point in the final 55 minutes of the game. And it's just impressive to watch them, even when they're up by a significant amount, not want to give up anything too. I mean, that just tells me that they have the mindset, that killer mindset.
What's Jim Schwartz thinking right now, you think?
I'm awesome.
Yes.
And he is. I don't think anybody who knows Jim Schwartz and knows anything about defense never, ever discredits him in terms of being a coordinator. He's a great coordinator. He's been a great coordinator for multiple teams over the last 10, 15 years. You know, when you look at him beyond that in terms of whether he can be a head coach or not, that's another story. But, boy, you give that guy a week to prepare, and he outclassed Pat Shurmur. He's getting that Giants
job. The
future
head coach of the Giants,
Future head coach of the New York Giants. Now, that, you know, again, that being a great coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a great head coach, so... but you know, Jim's going to be tasked with stopping Tom Brady, in many respects. Can he do it?
I guess we'll
get there. We have a lot of time to talk about that.
Yeah, we have a lot of time to talk about there. I don't think you stop Tom Brady, but I think the defensive line gets after him. And I think actually that leads to the next thing I was hoping to ask you, which was I thought you had a good column today off the game on Howie Roseman and kind of the moves he made. And when we talk about Jim Schwartz, he has players on his defense, and some of those players were added this offseason.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like an infomercial yesterday for Howie Roseman's offseason. All five touchdowns were scored by players he acquired. Nick Foles was a player he acquired this offseason. Howie's been beat up in this town quite a bit. He's not necessarily taking a victory lap publicly, but you know, as you wrote in his column, he deserves credit for the team that was on the field last night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's taken a beating nationally too, yeah, and from a lot of guys in the league because he doesn't have a traditional football background.
Which Jeffrey Lurie said, but in Jeffrey Lurie's post-game comments, he was kind of saying to be a football operations guy these days, you need more than that traditional background.
More scouting background. Yeah. And, I mean, I think he is right, and he has said that before. But, I mean, you know, I mean, Howie got beat up a little bit because during his previous tenure as GM, they didn't win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't certainly all of his fault, but he had some bad drafts and he had some bad free agent signings. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just being accurate in covering Howie, and certainly there was understandably a lot of questioning of Jeffrey's decision to bring him back based upon that. But you have to give Jeff credit, though. Maybe he looked back and, you know, of course, he's the one who's only privy to those notes.
The voluminous notes?
The voluminous amount of notes that he takes about the drafts. But in some way, he has the better idea. He has more than a better idea than anybody else how equipped and how he can be in terms of running the personnel department. And maybe he just saw those past seasons as more of a reflection upon the stuff that Andy Reid and Joe Banner had done than in terms of what Howie had done. But Howie has changed too. I think he's been more willing to admit mistakes. He's been more willing to turn the page when on draft picks and replaced. I mean, like for instance, well, we mentioned the Chase Daniel thing, which was certainly Doug Peterson's signing a few years ago. I'm trying to think. There's another example I had of
Marcus
Smith, running back.
Okay.
You know, like admitting that, you know, Danelle Pumphrey wasn't ready and that Wendell Smallwood was a guy. They went out and addressed it. They got LeGarrette Blount and they went and signed Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, they traded for Ajayi
in November. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, a cornerback, right? They drafted two cornerbacks. Now, Sidney, they knew, wasn't going to play this year, but they also drafted Rasul Douglas. And when they realized that Rasul wasn't going to be the answer in August, they went out and traded for Ronald Darby. So, I mean, you got to give Howie a lot of credit.
And the thing that jumps out to me is, and it's obvious you're going to be judged most based on your first-round pick and your big ticket free agent signing. So Derek Barnett and Alshon Jeffery.
Got to hit him the first round.
Yeah. But what Howie did well this year was those under-the-radar signings. There was one day in March at the league meetings when they signed Chris Long and Patrick Robinson on the same day. And I mentioned those two guys because the play that changed the game yesterday was Chris Long getting the pressure, Patrick Robinson getting the interception, returning for a touchdown. And those are depth spots that in the past they would ordinarily go to a draft pick or they'd go to a guy you're trying to develop to have for the future. And the Eagles were willing to invest depth spots this year, whether it was fourth defensive end, whether it was third cornerback, third safety in Corey Graham, into some veteran guys. And those are low-risk lottery pick-type signings, or I should say lottery ticket-type signings,
yeah,
where you can get them wrong and it's nothing. But Robinson, Long, Blount, Corey Graham, all those guys are contributing.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree just a little bit in terms of, like, I mean, they've signed those guys before and they just haven't done a good job.
Yeah, my point is that he hit on them this year.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. I thought you meant that instead of signing them, he typically would.
No, he took a chance on those guys. And
I mean, like the year before, Reuben Randall and Chris Givens were
exactly
total burnouts. I mean, those were
horrible. So they were wrong on those guys, and that's my point. They were wrong on those guys in the past, and so you end up giving the spot to someone who's probably not ready. Who's not ready yet.
And to their credit, I wrote this. I mean, Howie, they knew they had a good team, and they know in this league, if you're not giving away a year to rebuild. You should never do that. You need to build for the immediate, but also, you know, just keep an eye towards the future. And he did a great job of that. I mean, it's, you know, like the whole, he just did a lot of criticism for the Sidney Jones, not criticism, but a lot of questioning about Sidney Jones. And because you're expending, a second round pick on a guy who won't play. But now you're looking at it, you're like, oh my God, they still got a team that's going to the Super Bowl, and look at the pipeline.
Exactly.
I mean, it's this team.
It was kind of the best case scenario for Sidney.
This team is set up
dare I say, to compete for a Super Bowl every year for the next decade.
As long as number 11's healthy. Yeah.
As long as number 11. Yeah. Nothing is guaranteed in this league.
As we've seen with the Colts. I mean, they were in the AFC Championship game early on in Andrew Luck's career, and, you know, they didn't. But I think this team is more of an infrastructure around Wentz. The last thing we should discuss before we go, and I will say we're going to have some podcasts leading up to the Super Bowl too, so you'll hear a lot of us looking at the Patriots, looking at this matchup. But the week ahead of the Eagles is really important. And can you kind of give our readers, our listeners, insight into why the week before they board the plane to Minneapolis is so important?
Yeah, Tim, I've covered now a bunch of Super Bowls, and three of them have been with the Patriots, and I'm always kind of impressed at how at ease Bill Belichick seems during that week with the media. Typically, he's kind of ornery during the season, you know, but he's great. I mean, he's expansive about that. Now, there's certain things he won't answer, but he just seems so relaxed. And to talk to some people who've covered the team, the people who've been around the league for a while, they always say just because he's done all his work the week before, he has the game plan set up. Now, yeah, they got to practice and they got to do everything they need to do in terms of preparation for the game, but he's really kind of crunched the numbers the week before. And I think it's going to be important for Doug to kind of take that same approach this week. Go into next week enjoying the moment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you go in being like, oh my God, I don't feel like dealing with the media again, because you have to deal with them more than you ever have during the regular season, then you're going to probably let it affect you.
And I would also add, players and coaches, they're so routine oriented, and when they're here in Philly, they have their practice field, they have their locker room, they have their weight room, they have their schedule, and they don't have that when they're in Minneapolis for a week. Now, the Eagles had that week in California earlier this year, and that kind of helped them a bit. But when you're here, you can get most of your work done. When you're practicing at the University of Minnesota and you're staying at a team hotel and you have all these distractions around you, the work is not as efficient. So I would imagine this next week is essential for the Eagles.
Right, and, you know, I mean, I wasn't at Bill Belichick's first four Super Bowls with the Patriots, so I don't know how he dealt with those early ones. It was just the last three, and maybe that came from being there and having done it. I'm certainly believe that played a role in it, and they have advantages. They're built-in advantages for the Patriots because they've not all, but most of the key guys have been through it. I mean, they won a Super Bowl last year. Doug's been through it as a player, but this is different. This is different, and it's only gotten bigger with each passing year. Media nights become, I mean, a ridiculous
circus. Yeah.
Have you been there now that they have the way they introduce everybody on stage? It's like a rock show.
I was at
they
the
all get introduced.
The last one I was at was in Phoenix a few years ago. Yeah.
They might have had it then. That might have been the first time they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and then you got to kind of control some of the guys you're worried about in terms of how they're going to handle being away and all the parties.
Which you'll be our party correspondent from Minneapolis.
I'm taking it easy. I'm taking it easy that week.
Well, we will have a lot leading up to the Super Bowl here on the Bird's Eye View podcast on Philly.com. Until next time, that's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.